15th Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Verse Number 4, Dasavarsha Sahasrante, Purushastu Sanatana, Tesham Avirbhut Krishram, Santena Samayam Vicha. At the end of 10,000 years of severe austerities, performed by Prachetas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead to reward their austerities appeared before them in a very pleasing form. This appealed to the Prachetas and satisfied the labor of their austerities. Bolo. At the end of 10,000 years, of severe austerities, performed by the Prachetas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead reward their austerities appeared before them in a very pleasing form. This appealed to the Prachetas and satisfied the labor of their austerities. Purport. Performing 10,000 years of severe austerities does not seem a happy effort. At the devotees, the serious student of spiritual life undergo such austerities to attain the favor of the Supreme Lord. At the time when the duration of life was very long, people could undergo severe austerities for thousands of years. It is said that Valmiki, the author of Ramayana, underwent meditational austerities for 60,000 years. The Supreme Lord appreciated the austerities undergone by the Prachetas. He finally appeared before them in a pleasing form. So they all became satisfied. And forgot the austerities they underwent. In the material world, if one is successful after hard labor, he is very pleased. Similarly, devotee forgets all his labors and austerities as soon as he contacts the Supreme Lord. Although Dhruva Maharaj is only a 5-year-old boy, he underwent severe austerities by eating simply dry foliage, drinking only water, and taking no food. In this way, after 6 months, he was able to see the Supreme Lord face to face. When he saw the Lord, he forgot all his austerities and said, "Swamin Krutardesvin, my dear Lord, I am very, very pleased." Of course, these austerities were performed in the Satyayuga, Dwapara Yuga and Treta Yuga, but not in this age of Kali. In this Kali Yuga, one can attain the same results simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Because the people of this age are fallen, the Lord is kind enough to give them the easiest method. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can attain the same results. However, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out, we are so unfortunate that we are not even attracted to chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So, People are living 1 lakh years in Satyuga and 10,000 years in Treta Yuga and 1,000 years in Dwapar Yuga. And 100 years in Kali Yuga. The Prachetaswar in Satya Yuga, so they did this long, they spent a long time to practice what Lord Rudra told them to do. So they did not do whimsical self-styled austerities. Asastra vihitam ghoram tatpyante tapojana dambahankara samyukta kamaraga balamita. Karshayantam sarirastam bhutagrama machetata manchayvanta sarirastam. Tan vidyasura nishayam. So, this 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says it's not just austerity, but austerity is directed to please. Austerities that are authorized. Many people did many austerities, like Hiranyakashipu did, and many this Ravan, he did terrible austerities, very difficult austerities. So actually, as this Bhagavad Gita sloka says, tan vidyasara nishayan, anyone who is doing austerities for the purpose other than for self-realization or advancing in spiritual path, all those austerities, they come under austeric austerities. It may be impressive to see someone doing very difficult austerities. Like Ekalavya was also doing very seriously. Like Ravan and Hiranyakashipu. Let's say it is said, austerity is also three kinds. Austerity in the mode of ignorance, austerity in the mode of passion, and austerity in the mode of goodness. So when austerity is performed in the mode of ignorance and passion, it is that they give a very material and temporary benefit, and it will not satisfy the soul. Actually, if you understand that the goal of austerities is to attain purity and renunciation and loving service, ಜ್ಞಾನ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಕುಮಾರ್ ದ ಮಹಾನ್ ದಿ ಹೈಯೆಸ್ಟ್ ಬೆನಿಡಿಕ್ಷನ್ ಇನ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಈಸ್ ಟು ಅಟೈನ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟಲ್ ಲವ್ ನಾಟ್ ಮಂಡೇನ್ ಲವ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಆ್ಯನ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ರೆಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಸೆನ್ಶುವಲ್ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಷನ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ರಿಯಲಿ ಲವ್ So love doesn't see that's why it is different from lust the attraction for young people the attraction based on self gratification that doesn't come under love Love means what we can do for the other person without any expectation and that is also not any physical bodily love like parents love their children because they happen to be their children So naturally they will have affection for them. Our loving propensity for Krishna also, to begin with, it is selfish. If I serve Krishna, Krishna will do this for me, Krishna will take care of me, and Krishna will give me whatever I want. So that looks like devotion or love, but it is not. That's why the definition of love are given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the Chaitanya Charitamrita It says, most of the time, lust is masked as love. And difference between love and lust, that like gold and iron, both are metals. In one sense, iron and gold. But gold is so precious, and iron is cheap. Similarly, mundane love in attraction for the senses and because we have a relation with someone who is doing so much for us. So that is called actually lust. In true love, there is no expectation, there is no exploitation, there is nothing material about it, and that is based on enlightenment. Like, we have no attraction for Krishna, but intellectually, we are convinced that We should love Krishna, because we are part and parcels of Krishna. So there is no attraction, but still we are doing. This is transcendental service, which in the course of time will fructify as transcendental love. So lust is gratification of one's own senses and love is gratifying the senses of the real person or God. So as we advance in devotional service, in the beginning it is conditioned. In the beginning we have an expectation. We are looking for results, fruits. But as we advance in bhakti, the serving Krishna, the act of serving Krishna itself is very satisfying. Irrespective of the results, irrespective of what we get, irrespective of how troublesome it is to do that service. So this is awakening of our natural love. As long as I live, as long as I breathe, my breath is dedicated to Krishna. That is, I live for Krishna. I don't want anything else in this world. So working for Krishna is the art of life. Don't worry about anything. Just you, I was thinking in the morning, life is nothing but seeing that the mind is not diverted from Krishna. Don't worry about anything else. Any activity that is not directed, that is not meant for satisfying Krishna, that will not make you happy. The soul naturally becomes happy by serving the Supreme Soul or Krishna. So here the Prachatas, they did austerities to please the Supreme Lord, because they were guided by Rudra. Rudra did not, when we say Rudra Gita is not glorification of Rudra. Rudra Gita is the prayers of Rudra to Lord Vishnu and the Supreme Lord. That is called Rudra Gita. Rudra Gita is Bhagavad Gita. Rudra Gita is Bhagavatam. But what Rudra did is glorifying the supremacy and glorifying the service of Lord Krishna. So we have Ashtavakra Gita, we have Uddhav Gita, we have Gopi Gita, you know, they are there in Bhagavatam and Ramayana. And also Vasishtha Gita. Gita means someone who is speaking. Krishna is speaking, so it is called Bhagavad Gita. When we are speaking something, then we call it Gita. But we use the word Gita, not talking, dialogue, because it is said in Brahma Samhita that in the spiritual world, every step is a dance. And every talk is a song. When you walk, it is dancing. When you talk, it is singing. that the soul becomes so satisfied, the soul becomes so rich in sentiments, that Krishna is called Uttama Sloka. If you are asked to glorify a person, then you have to scratch your head and think. So you don't want to exaggerate, you don't want to undermine, and we don't really understand what the other person is. So our glorification of another person. But with Krishna, you can, to your heart's content, you can say anything about Krishna. Nothing is an exaggeration. Nothing is impossible. And nothing is an overestimation. And then sometimes you glorify a person, and then afterwards, like I was reading in the newspaper a few days back, some film actors in Andhra Pradesh, for their great time of acting, they were given national awards, like Padma Shri and something like that. And then now, they became Padma Shri Mohan Babu, Padma Shri this and that, and they were producing very vulgar film. Padma Shri is not given to such people, you know. That means, sometime he did something nice, but now he has stooped to low emotions. Maybe he is motivated by money, or is motivated by low class pleasures, or he saw the demand of common mass of people for this kind of entertainment, cheap entertainment, so he did. And there was an uproar, there was furor in the media. How can someone who got a state award can do something that is not worthy of him? You know, whenever the government awards something, it goes along with that some citations, some benefits. If Padma Shri is coming, Rawali district collector has to greet him. The Padma Shri is coming, they may have to, the government, the transport department may have to give them some concession, exemption, like that. So, and you have Padma Shri, and then you all cheap things doing again. So a person can really become good if you are attracted to Krishna. If you are attracted to Krishna, who is the best person, and if you are attracted to him, then you will do what is befitting. Like we become Vaishnavas, which is a very big thing. And so much is expected from Vaishnavas because they are devotees of Krishna. They are devotees of Vishnu. They are supposed to be enlightened. They are supposed to be steady. They are supposed to be pure. They are supposed to be helpless, selfless, and so on. So much is expected from a genuine Vaishnava. So actually the soul has all these good qualities. But when the soul comes in contact with the Supreme Soul, then these qualities will begin to unfold. These qualities will begin to manifest. There is no other way. You know, sometimes people, for prestige and recognition, they are inspired to do some things. But it is not from enlightenment, or it is not from their goodness, so they are motivated. Like somebody may come to the temple and donate some good amount of lakshmi. But it is not necessary that he will have good behavior. But if you are a devotee, then naturally everything you do very thoughtful. That's why it said, the name Krishna is the end of education. Nama Chintamani Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Abhinatma Nama Namino. So the standard of human civilization is based on chanting Hare Krishna. You will understand how to do everything. Now sometimes people are surprised that devotees want to comment on everything and anything. What is science, devotees can say. What is governance, devotees can say. What is philanthropy, devotees can say. And what is art of living, devotees can say. And devotees, they hear and then they practice chanting Hare Krishna. It's not that we always give classes by reading this, reading that. You chant sincerely. You chant sincerely and you'll have all good behavior. They are well-educated people, people born in good families. But they cannot match someone who is chanting Hare Krishna. Because the modes are always in competition. So you will not stay in the mode of goodness all the time. Like Rajas Tamasai Guya Sattvam Bhavati Bharata Tamasattvam Rajasteva. Like we were reading the 13th chapter, how in this world the modes have competition. So that's why there is a sloka in Bhagavatam. One who is not a devotee of the Lord, he cannot have any good qualities in the long run. And anyone who is a devotee of the Lord, at the moment he may not be decorated with good qualities, but in the course of time, you will have all good qualities. It says, Yashyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Tatre Guna Sura. It says, one who is a devotee, not only that he will have some good qualities, but whatever good qualities are seen in different demigods, Samasate Sura. Harav Abhaktasya Kutod Mahatguna. The next line it says, and he also says, it is not that you are making a statement, it says, why? Why a non-devotee cannot have good qualities? Why a devotee will have good qualities? Manorade Nadasati Dhavato Bahi. One who is a mental platform is always oscillating, always fluctuating. Because that is the nature of the mind. And if you raise the spiritual platform, then you have fixed intelligence and your values are fixed. You cannot stoop to low-grade activities. A devotee, let's say a devotee is not tempted. One who is remembering Krishna, simply Krishna will teach you from within. Krishna will give the willpower. Krishna will give you willpower. Krishna will give you intelligence. And Krishna will protect you. And Krishna will guide you. So much will happen when you chant Hare Krishna. There's no doubt about that. Unless you are a hypocrite about fall down, Prabhupada says, no one can make you fall down unless you are willing. That's not possible to fall down. Like you must say, I don't have control over my mind, surely I will fall down. No. If you don't have control over your mind, whenever you see a situation, the situation where my mind goes out of control, so let me not go there. You avoid it. So, but falling down is out of question for someone who doesn't want to. You cannot say, you know, it happened in a haste, it happened by mistake, and actually the blame goes to the other person because he or she was inciting me. Sometime back in Delhi, not in Delhi, in Bengal, it was there for many days in the news. Something happened with a woman and many people were arrested and there was a debate. Government to intellectuals to educationists. The woman has to dress modest, woman has to be dressed like this, that. That means you want to change everybody so that you can behave all right. So there are two fallacies in that. If you want to behave all right, if everyone has to be corrected to your way of approach, that is not practical. Everybody has their way of life. You cannot say. Number two is that your mind itself is fickle. So you cannot make others dance for your fickle mind. So everything is sastravit. You do everything based on Shastra. Nothing whimsical. Just like you cannot tell a woman, don't wear ornament, don't wear good clothes. Still, you may not become free from lusty thoughts. It may help when people dress simply and in a modest way, it may help. But ultimately, if you are not a devotee of Krishna, then you are going to make some excuse. That's why we don't blame anybody, don't find fault with you, because you are not attracted to Krishna. Your attraction is going somewhere else. If you are attracted to Krishna, they're saying, when nice foods are not there and you are okay, does it mean that you are well controlled or what? And when nice foods come before you and you cannot restrain yourself, you want to just grab and eat and overeat. So what kind of renunciation is that? So real self-control or willpower means nothing precipitates, nothing tempts you, because you are testing something many, many times more than what the world can offer. That is called the taste in the Krishna's name. If you develop taste in Krishna's name, then all temptations, you can cut them down, because that will tell you the real nature of those tempting situations. How long will it last? What will be the consequences? What next? And things like that. So, like people, they sometimes jump to hasty conclusions, hasty decisions. When someone comes and says, Maharaj, I cannot live without marriage, because he is tipped over by his mind. So he thinks, no, how can I, how long, and how can I? But you can educate him. So what next? Consider you are married. What next? Consider you are indulged in your unrestrained mind. What next? Sometime in life, you have to again become sober. If that is the case, why not start it from now? So, that means it's not a question of marriage or no marriage. It's a question of restraint. That's what our philosophy is. Regulated life. Regulated life. Nothing is done without rules and regulations in an unregulated way. So, regulated means you chant Hare Krishna and slowly develop your spiritual life and develop your spiritual taste, and to the degree you become disinterested in material enjoyments. So, renunciation is a natural thing for a devotee, and renunciation is something one practices in order to attain knowledge. That is to say, bhakti is more than knowledge and renunciation. So by bhakti you get a higher test. Naturally, you can become renounced. By bhakti, you have pure enjoyment, so that is knowledge, your knowledge. Now you can discriminate between this sensual experience and the spiritual experience. So the point is, the prachetas, they did austerities not to attain some siddhis, Prachetas, they did not perform austerities whimsically in order to, like our politicians, they do also. Anna Hazare and even the bifurcation, Andhra, many people were, all the leaders, they were getting into fasting unto death. Fasting unto death. Like last night, today morning, I was meeting, some new person came to the Mangalarti. So he told that yesterday was Ekadasi, and I observed vigil, V-I-G-I-L, vigil, all night. That means Jagaran, is that right? Jagaran, vigil, vigilance, the word came from vigilance. Vigil, from the word vigil came vigilance. Vigilance means attentive. So it is not just waking up all night. I said, then what are you doing all night? He said, I was watching TV because I should not sleep. I said, this is useless. That is not the purpose of observing Jagaran. The word Jagaran is spiritual awakening. The Jagaran. It's not just physically remaining active, or sometimes we do upavas. Upavas means fasting. You do upavas. The word upavas means, upa means near, vas means near God. You live closer to God, that is upavas. And you think, like I said, I have God, only water. The idea is, because we know, the idea is that just keep yourself free to chant all day or do some service or read something, do something. Remain near God, that is upavas. And these people, they observe upavas, they will meditating. After the upavas, what should I eat? And when will the upavas be over? No, if you are observing upavas, you want to remain close to Krishna more and more. If you do upavas properly, your upavas will increase. Because as you stay nearer to God, you become so peaceful, so happy. That's why devotees, they do upavas very easily. Today, Nityananda Trayodashi, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance. They want to do it because they want to know about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They want to know about this, and they understand that the more we do upavas, the more your mind will become pure and fixed. Pure and fixed. So then everything is based on proper, doing things properly. It is not just using the word upavas, jagaran, and you do anything you like. That is not. So everything should be centered around Krishna. Then that will have lasting benefit. So this is what happened with Prachetas. They were doing all this because they got the guidance from Shiva. And they got a Vaishnava mantra. And then they were able to do that because they are seeing the purification. And then finally, actually they wanted to become Gurahastas, they wanted to become good kings. So they were doing these austerities to get married and so on. But by meeting Rudra, actually there was a complete change. They got darshan of Lord Vishnu. And after seeing Vishnu, you will not fall down anymore. But guided by Vishnu, you do everything. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతంకి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి హరినామ సంకీర్తానికి.